कृष्णा, आई वेलकम एवरीबॉडी टू भक्ति संगा जपा कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल टुडे। वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज ग्रेस अर्जुन सका प्रभुजी टू एनलाइटन अस ऑन द टॉपिक ऑफ टीचिंग्स ऑफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य चैप्टर 22। हरे कृष्णा प्रभुजी, प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू शीला प्रभुपाद। थैंक यू सो मच प्रभुजी फॉर जॉइनिंग एंड गिविंग योर वैल्यूएबल टाइम एंड एसोसिएशन दिस मॉर्निंग। प्लीज टेक ओवर द कॉल प्रभु। हरे बोल।
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji, for that very kind introduction. Dear devotees, thank you so much for assembling here to hear about the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Before we start our discussion, we will chant the Mangalacharan prayers, seek auspiciousness from our spiritual superiors, and get started in our today's discussion. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाखय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुस्तुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामेनेति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। गुरवे गौरचंद्राय राधिकाय तदालये कृष्णाय कृष्ण भक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः। आनंद लीलामय विग्रहाय हेमाव दिव्य छवि सुंदराय तस्मै महाप्रेम रस प्रदाय चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते। चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते। चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते। हरे कृष्ण। बिफोर वी बिगिन, I would want to express my heartfelt gratitude at the lotus feet of Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, because of whose endeavor, because of whose Bhakti Vedanta purports that Prabhupada wrote between 12 a.m. and 4 a.m. in the morning. I think because of all of Prabhupada's efforts, we are all present here. If not for those efforts of Prabhupada, that he wrote between 12 and 4 in the morning, we would not have Chaitanya Charitamrita. If not for Chaitanya Charitamrita, we would naturally not have even teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So I wholeheartedly express my gratitude and prostrate myself a million times at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and at the lotus feet of all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada who are relentlessly traveling around the world in their 70s, 60s and 70s and 80s to spread this mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is Vraja Prem. Secondly, I want to thank Priti Vilasini Mataji for very kindly having me here at the service of all the devotees present. And at the same time, I want to thank and beg for the best wishes and prayers of all the devotees present here. Please pray for me. Please bless me so that I can speak some favorable words in the glorification of today's topic. Please accept my very humble obeisances. Vancha kalpatarobhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. We find that apart from the Naimasharanya that is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see Naimasharanya is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam for the fact that Suta Goswami spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to Shaunakadi Rishi at Naimasharanya. And this is the Naimasharanya that is located somewhere close to Uttar Pradesh in UP. Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his book called as Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, explains something very interesting. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that in Naimasharanya, there was once a katha that was going on. Now this Naimasharanya is not the same Naimasharanya as that of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Naimasharanya that is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam is that which is there near UP. But this Naimasharanya that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is mentioning in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya is the Naimasharanya of Navadvip Mandal. So even Navadvip Dham has Naimasharanya. In fact, these pastime places of the Lord, that is Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Jagannath Puri, they have all other pastime places in it. Like for example, those devotees who have been to Braj Mandal Parikrama would have seen that in Braj, we have Kedarnath, we have Badrinath, we have Yamunotri, we have Gangotri, we have Lakshman Jhula, we have all these places. If someone goes to Braj, then all these pastime places are there in the land of Braj. Just like we say, when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no need for studying any other scripture. Similarly, when someone goes to these pastime places of the Lord, that is Braj, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, one understands that all other pastime places are present in these three prominent places. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions that in Navadvip, close to Madhyadvip, which is one of the nine islands, there is also a place called as Naimasharanya. Just to reiterate, this Naimasharanya and the Bhagavatam's Naimasharanya are two different Naimasharanyas. The glories of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Bhagavat was going on, the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya were being discussed in this Naimasharanya. So naturally, we may be intrigued, oh, then who is the speaker? Who was presenting it? Suta Goswami was speaking. To whom? To Shaunakadi Rishi. The same Suta Goswami who spoke to Shaunakadi Rishi in the another Naimasharanya about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, that same Suta Goswami was now speaking to the same Shaunakadi Rishi in Naimasharanya, that is the Naimasharanya of Navadvip, but the topic was different. This time the topic was the glories of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The topic was teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Bhagavat or Chaitanya Charitamrita. And all the sages, thousands of sages, were in rapt attention hearing about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at that time, this news, just like a wildfire, it just spread across. So much so that this news reached Kailash. And Lord Shiva, when he got to know that the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are being discussed, he became so ecstatic. He is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. He is the best among Vaishnavas. So naturally, Vaishnava means his heart should get attracted to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Lord Shiva, when he got to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are being discussed in Naimasharanya of Navadvip Dham, Lord Shiva decided to go and attend this narration. So he sat on his Nandi, the order carrier. He sat on his Nandi and was going to Naimasharanya. But midway, he understood that Nandi is going very slow. If this is the speed at which Nandi goes, that probably by the time I reached there, Sutta Goswami would have completed Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Shiva was scratching his head thinking, what am I supposed to do? I have to go to Naimasharanya, but my Nandi is very slow. So he just parked his Nandi to the side. He just kept his Nandi to the side and he went to Brahmaji. He went to Vidhata. And when he went to Brahmaji, Brahmaji welcomed him. And Lord Shiva explained the purpose for which he had arrived. He told Brahmaji that, oh Brahmaji, Gaur Katha, Chaitanya Bhagavat, teachings of Lord Chaitanya is being described in Naimasharanya. And Sutta Goswami is the speaker and Shaunakadi Rishis are present. And I have this desire in my heart that I want to go and attend. But my Nandi, what to do? My Nandi is very slow. So Brahmaji, he said, how can I help you? And Lord Shiva explained that you have swan, you have Hamsa as your order carrier. And naturally the swan, the Hamsa is faster than my Nandi. So if you are kind, would you be kind enough to give me your swan so that I can sit on the swan, I can sit on the Hamsa and travel my way to Naimasharanya and hear about the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu? When Brahmaji heard this, Brahmaji became very happy. And voluntarily, he gave his swan, he gave his Hamsa to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva sat on that Hamsa and with complete eagerness, with complete enthusiasm, he marched his way to Naimasharanya. And when he reached Naimasharanya, the Katha was still going on. Chaitanya Bhagavat, teachings of Lord Chaitanya were still being discussed. And Lord Shiva sat behind, so much so that no one could see him. But sitting behind, he was hearing with rapt attention about the glories of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And after the 7-day Katha was done, Lord Shiva again sat on that Hamsa and went back to his abode. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he explains this pastime in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes this point that Lord Shiva, being a Vaishnava, being the best among Vaishnavas, is teaching all of us, is teaching all the practitioners, is teaching all the sadhakas that this is the level of enthusiasm one should have when one is hearing katha. Because we see enthusiasm is the life of bhakti. If there is no enthusiasm, then we seldom make any progress on this path of bhakti. As Srila Rupa Goswami also says, utsahat. It starts with enthusiasm. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur very strongly makes this point that the point that we can learn from the pastime of Lord Shiva's going to Naimasharanya and hearing Gaur Katha is the thirst, is the enthusiasm that he has to hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the reason I started our discussion with this pastime of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that he mentions in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya is so that we can try to take some inspiration for the next 30 or 45 minutes or so. If we can take some iota of inspiration, one drop of inspiration from Lord Shiva as to how eager and how enthusiastic he is to hear about Gauranga Mahaprabhu. If we can take even one drop of inspiration from Lord Shiva's life, then our bhakti will be a complete success. That will be the hallmark of success of our bhakti. So having said this, and having glorified Lord Shiva, who is the best among devotees, let us kindly start our today's discussion. We see today we are reading from the chapter 22, that is teachings of Lord Chaitanya that Srila Prabhupada has presented as a summary study to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just like Prabhupada has given Krishna book, which is a summary study to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, similarly, Prabhupada also. Yes, if we could just mute our mics. Thank you, Hare Krishna. So I was mentioning that just like Prabhupada has given a summary study to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the form of the Krishna book, similarly, Srila Prabhupada has given a summary study just of the teachings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu that are mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita through the book called as Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And in today's section, that is chapter 22, the overview of this section is such that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is on his way to Bindu Madhav temple. And naturally, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there in his residence, it is very difficult for everyone to come and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We see that if one Prabhupada disciple comes in our congregation as visiting, if he comes to our congregation, naturally we find that he's completely mobbed by all the devotees because everyone wants the association of a Prabhupada disciple. So naturally we can just imagine if Gauranga Mahaprabhu is coming to our congregation, how ecstatic that will be. Which devotee would not want to take association of Gauranga Mahaprabhu? So that same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was there in his residence, it was very difficult for all the devotees to come and take his Sangha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was proceeding towards the Bindu Madhav temple, thousands of people congregated in order to take darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were standing in lines, they were standing in queue just to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's moon-like face. And finally, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached the Bindu Madhav temple along with his associates, he had Paramananda Puri, he had Chandrasekhar, he had Tapan Mishra, Shripad Sanatan Goswami, and all these beautiful associates of Gauranga Mahaprabhu who are like stars, twinkling stars in the black horizon of Kali Yuga. When these associates were there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were all loudly chanting, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Namaha, Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudan Giridari Gopinath Madhana Mohan Shri Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Sita Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Gita Shri Rupa Sanatana Bhatta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Tadera charana se bhakta sane vas janame janame hoye ei abhilash hari bol gaur hari bol nitai gaur hari bol. In this way, all the associates of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, they were loudly chanting. Srila Prabhupada describes they were chanting Hari Haraya Nama Krishna, which generally we sing during Mangal Aarti time. Of course, there is no hard and fast rule, but generally we see that it's sung during the morning prayers, during our Samsara Dava prayers. So when these prayers were being chanted, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thinking about Brajendranandan Shri Krishna, he became so ecstatic that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and he was also chanting along with all his associates. And very beautifully, our acharyas describe when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing this way, he looked so effulgent. Kanchana sadrusha deha aruna vasan pulaka shrukam pasveda tahate bhushan. Kanchana sadrusha deha. How was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deha? How was his body? Kanchana. It was like gold. It was like as if gold personified is walking from one place to another. And Aruna Vasan, his cloth, he was having a sannyas cloth, orange cloth. And four ecstatic symptoms Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing. Pulaka, Ashru, Kampa and Sveda, Tahate Bhushan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having hair standing on his head, tears flowing from his eyes. He was shivering, and on top of that, there were beads of sweat drops. There were beads of perspiration. We see that when we perspire, it doesn't add on to our so-called beauty. It just doesn't add on to our so-called beauty. But for Mahaprabhu, Tahate Bhushan. Kaviraj Goswami says that for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even when he was perspiring, it was adding on to his beauty. the beads of perspiration, the hair standing on his end, the cheeks being moist with the river streams of tears. They were acting as ornaments for beautifying the already most beautiful Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So they were acting as instruments in ornamenting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beauty. And when he was dancing this way, thousands of devotees were there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were also chanting and dancing. And at that time, a very interesting personality who was close by, who heard this chanting and dancing, he got so enamored by the beauty of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He got so enchanted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chanting and dancing that he came with his disciples. And this personality is none other than Prakashananda Saraswati. Prakashananda Saraswati, formerly a Mayavadi sannyasi, when he heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chanting and dancing, he came to the Bindu Madhav temple and he also started chanting and dancing. A Mayavadi sannyasi, along with his disciples, seeing just the dancing of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, his heart got so transformed that now he was also dancing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that Prakashananda Saraswati is present at that assembly, the waves of emotions that were rising in Gauranga Mahaprabhu's heart, they completely stopped. Because he saw Prakashananda Saraswati. Just like in Mahaprakash Leela, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing with Gadhadhar and Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya and all these associates, when an intruder was hiding in Srivas Angan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic symptoms just stopped and he stopped dancing. The bhavs that were rising in his heart like waves, it completely stopped. Because there was an intruder in that assembly. Similarly, in the same lines, when Prakashananda Saraswati came to that assembly of chanting and dancing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic symptoms just stopped. And Mahaprabhu and all his associates, they stopped chanting and dancing. And Prakashananda Saraswati, when he saw this, he immediately fell down at the feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, begging the Lord that, "My dear Lord, please forgive me. Kshamaswa maam, kshamaswa maam. I have done so many offenses. My dear Lord, I have criticized you. I have spoken ill about you so many times in the past. But my dear Lord, I have now understood your glories. Please forgive me. Please do not reject this Prakashananda Saraswati. I am present here with all my disciples and all of us are falling at your feet asking for forgiveness. My dear Lord, please forgive us. We genuinely repent for whatever we have said and done in the past." And this brings us to the first point in our discussion. We find this chapter 22 is called as Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is it called Srimad Bhagavatam? It's called Srimad Bhagavatam for two reasons. The first reason why it is called as Srimad Bhagavatam is Prakashananda Saraswati at this point starts quoting different verses from Srimad Bhagavatam in order to beseech Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to ask forgiveness from Gauranga Mahaprabhu, in order to get Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Kripa Drishti, in order to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassionate nature fall upon him. He starts quoting different verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And very beautifully, he says, Prakashananda Saraswati says that, "My dear Lord, that amongst millions of sages who are liberated in this world, one amongst them becomes a devotee of the Lord. And one of that devotee who becomes the servant of Narayan or who becomes a servant of Sri Krishna, the quality of such a devotee is that devotee is always peaceful in his heart. He's always peaceful in his heart and there are no symptoms. He never gets agitated. There are never waves of agitation that are there in his heart." He says, "My dear Lord, such devotees are very rare. And whenever we get associations of such devotees, we should always try to take full advantage of their association. Koteshvapi Mahamune, Prashantatma Koteshvapi Mahamune. 6.14.5 Bhagavatam describes that whenever we get association of such devotees who are very peaceful in their nature and devotees of Narayana or devotees of Shri Krishna, we should always make full advantage to take their association. Srila Prabhupada was once there in Amsterdam, and this was the time when Amsterdam temple opening was being done. It was the opening of the Amsterdam temple in Holland, and Srila Prabhupada had arrived there for the opening ceremony. And when Prabhupada arrived there, Prabhupada asked for the fruits because the yajna had to be performed. So Prabhupada asked some of the devotees who were there that, where are the fruits? And they told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, we used all the fruits. We used all the fruits for making fruit salad. There are no fruits for the yajna. And Prabhupada got so angry. Prabhupada said that, oh, don't you know that there are some fruits that are required even for yajna? Fruit salad is good, but we also need some fruits for the yajna. But then Prabhupada, he didn't say anything after that. But when this discussion was going on, from inside the temple room, he could hear some noise. So slowly Prabhupada just opened the curtain. And when Prabhupada opened the curtain, he saw some devotees, temple devotees, were trying to squeeze Jagannath inside the temple dome. Inside the altar, they were trying to squeeze Jagannath. And Prabhupada, when he saw this, Prabhupada became even more angry, because he was already angry for the fruits being used up. And now when he saw this, that Jagannath is being squeezed inside the altar, Prabhupada got very angry. Actually, what had happened was the size of the deity was much larger than the altar dome. The altar was small, but the size of the deity was big. So somehow they were scared that if they tell this to Prabhupada, Prabhupada would scold them. So without Prabhupada seeing, they were trying to squeeze the deity inside. And Prabhupada could hear the sound. So Prabhupada opened the curtain slowly. And he saw this, and Prabhupada became even more angry. Prabhupada said, what are you doing? Don't you understand? He is Jagannath. He is the Lord of the universe. And you're trying to squeeze him inside? Prabhupada was really angry. Sometimes when Prabhupada would get angry, he would just smash the devotees down. Even whether they're disciples or whether they're reporters, whoever they are, Prabhupada would have, when he would be angry, he would just put his foot down very heavily. So finally, when Prabhupada saw this, Prabhupada asked the devotees to cut off the top portion of the dome. Prabhupada said, you just cut the top portion of the dome and so that you can put Jagannath inside and you don't have to squeeze or you don't have to cause inconvenience to Jagannath. So as Prabhupada said, they just removed the top portion of the dome, and a few devotees were carrying this dome. And they were going outside. They were going out from the temple. And the media and the press were standing outside. So when they saw a few devotees were carrying this dome, they thought that the procession has already started. So they started recording that. Actually, it was the unused dome that Prabhupada had asked them to remove. But for the media, they thought that the procession has already started. So they even started filming that. And somehow the temple opening was done. And after the temple opening was done, Prabhupada went back to his room. He went back to his quarters. And those days, Prabhupada was living a mile or two from the Holland temple. Because there was no facility to stay in the temple, Prabhupada was living a mile or two from the Holland temple. So when Prabhupada reached his quarters, Prabhupada asked his disciple that he wanted the Rajbhog. The first offering that was done to the deities of the Holland temple, Prabhupada said that, I want that Rajbhog. Now, interestingly, all the Rajbhog was distributed. It was distributed to all the disciples. Now, they couldn't tell this to Prabhupada because this would infuriate Prabhupada even more. You see, sometimes it so happens that everything goes against our will. Whatever we do right from morning to end, whatever we try to accomplish, nothing works out. In fact, everything just topples. It goes topsy-turvy. And here, right from the start of the temple opening, whether it was the episode of the fruits, whether it was deities, or now even Rajbhog, there was no Rajbhog for Prabhupada. But they couldn't tell this to Prabhupada. So finally, after searching, the temple pujari had kept one plate for himself separately to the side. So he decided to give his plate to Prabhupada. So this plate was being carried to Prabhupada. And when the devotees were there in the car, as I earlier mentioned, it was a mile or two away from the temple. So when they were there in the car, it so happened that all of a sudden the devotee was driving. He had to put the brake. He had to press on the brakes. And when the brakes were pressed, naturally the person who was carrying the prasadam, he came ahead and all the prasadam fell to the ground. All the Rajbhog, that one plate of Rajbhog that was left for Prabhupada, it naturally fell to the ground. And now they were thinking to themselves, Prabhupada is going to get very angry. He's going to get wild on us. So they went to Prabhupada and they said that, Prabhupada, there was only one plate of Rajbhog, and that Rajbhog also fell to the ground. And when Prabhupada heard this, Prabhupada said, pick it up and bring it. It is Mahaprasad. Don't waste it. Wherever it has fallen, pick it up and bring it here. And finally, at the end of the day, the temple president, he ventured, he mustered some courage, and he went to Prabhupada and said that, Prabhupada, I'm really sorry. The whole day, it just didn't work out. We planned so many things, but somehow such an important day, opening of an ISKCON temple here in Holland, but things didn't work out. I, being the temple president, Prabhupada, I have come here to apologize. And interestingly, when he entered the room, Prabhupada was sitting in a very relaxed fashion. With his hand raised above, Prabhupada was chanting, Parama Karuna Pahudoi Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra. Prabhupada was chanting, Parama Karuna Pahudoi Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra. And he had a smile on his face. Prabhupada was radiating. He was effulgent and he had a smile on his face. So when this temple president came and he asked for forgiveness, Prabhupada said, oh no, it's completely fine. There's no problem. But this temple president was still asking for forgiveness. That Prabhupada, please forgive me. I take complete responsibility. Things didn't work out. I take complete responsibility. And Prabhupada, in a very relaxed fashion, Prabhupada said, that the ocean bed is always calm. But sometimes we will find waves on the top. Which means the heart of a devotee is always calm. But sometimes the spiritual master chastises his disciple in order to maintain Siddhanta or to get a job done. Sometimes the spiritual master has to be heavy. So that art of being heavy is like the waves of ocean on the top. But Prabhupada said, inside, deep inside the heart of the spiritual master is like the ocean. It's always very calm. So please do not worry. And this is very significant. This is very important, because here in this connection of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Saraswati, Prakashananda Saraswati, who being a Mayavadi scholar, as his name suggests, Prakashananda Saraswati. He was a Mayavadi scholar. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was angry with him. Just like Prabhupada was externally or apparently angry with his disciples. But this was external, like the waves on the ocean that is seen on the surface. Deep inside, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also calm like the ocean. Because at the end of the day, Prakashananda Saraswati is also the Lord's eternal associate. So externally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed some anger, but deep inside, when he saw that Prakashananda Saraswati is quoting verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahaprabhu was very happy. So we find that for a materialist, the biggest distraction is the destruction of the body. For a materialist, the biggest distraction is the destruction of the body. While for a spiritualist, the biggest destruction is the distraction of the mind. For a practitioner, for a sadhaka, for all of us, the biggest destruction is the distraction of the mind. And here we find Prakashananda Saraswati is making sure that he is not victimized by the destruction of the distraction of his mind away from the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When he understood his offense unto the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately came there to ask forgiveness and started quoting verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam just to make sure that he is not victimized by the distraction of the destruction of his mind. And our acharyas make this very wonderful point that a devotee has only three things to pray. If we have to take another birth again, a devotee has only three things that he always prays for. The first the devotee prays for is, my dear Lord, may I always be attracted to your lotus feet. Second, may I cultivate that attraction in the association of your devotees. And third, by being blessed by the devotees, by serving the devotees and being blessed by their association, may I develop genuine compassion in order to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. These are the only three things that a devotee prays for if he has to take another birth again. May he always be attracted. May I always be attracted to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Second, may I cultivate that attraction in the association of the devotees. And third, by serving the devotees and by being the recipients of their Kripa Patra, may I develop this genuine compassion in my heart to give Krishna consciousness to others. And we see that this is fundamentally the same point that even Vritrasura is praying in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When he has the thunderbolt on his neck, when Indra is sitting on his shoulder to chop off Vritrasura's head with the thunderbolt that was prepared by the bones of Dadichi Muni, personally constructed by Vishwakarma, at that time Vritrasura is also praying for the same thing. Vritrasura very beautifully, Canto 6, Chapter 11, Text 24 to 27, the four verses that Vritrasura chants before his departure, he says, Aham hare tava padaye kamola dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuya manasmareta supater gunamste grinhita vakarma karotu kaya nanaka prishtham nacha parameshtham na sarvabhaumam narasadipatyam na yoga siddhira punarbhavam va samanja sattva virahaya kanshi ajata paksha iva mataram khaga stanyam yathavat saratakshudartha priyam priyaiva vyushitamishana mano ravendraksha dedekshate tvam mama uttama shloka janeshu sakhyam samsara chakre brahmatasva karmavi tanmay atma majadara gehe shvasakta chittasya nanat bhuyat. Four verses that Vritrasura chanted when he was departing this world. These verses are so important that as sadhakas, as practitioners, one should chant these verses every day, whether getting up in the morning or going to sleep. These verses are so important that they are almost on par with the Chatushloki of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is Vritrasura playing? What is Vritrasura asking? What is he praying? He says, Aham hare tava padaika moolam dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhoya. My dear Lord, let me become the servant of your servant of your servants lifetime after lifetime. Dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuyam. My dear Lord, this is the only thing I'm asking. lifetime after lifetime, I want to become the servant of your servant of your servant. Manhas mare tasu pater gunamste, and may my mind always be absorbed in thinking about your pastimes. And grinhita vak, may my tongue glorify your pastimes, and karotu kaya, and may it also be reflected in my actions. May my mind always think about you, may my tongue always speak about your pastimes, and may it always be reflected in my actions. So this is what a devotee always asks for. He always wants to remember the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He always wants to be in the association of the devotees of the Lord. And this is precisely what Prakashananda Saraswati is also begging Gauranga Mahaprabhu to be accepted. He quotes different verses from Srimad Bhagavatam only so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can accept him, so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can embrace him in his Sangha. And when finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he forgives Prakashananda Saraswati, because we find Prakashananda Saraswati's main problem was he was a Mayavadi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his conversations with him in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mayavada Bhashya Shunilo Hoilo Sarvanash. If someone hears to a Mayavadi, Hoilo Sarvanash, he is completely doomed, he is completely destroyed. So naturally, Prakashananda Saraswati and his 60,000 disciples, who were all Mayavadis, were now transformed in the association of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, so much so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now forgave all of them. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with Prakashananda Saraswati and started speaking about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. This brings us to the second reason why this chapter is called Srimad Bhagavatam. The first reason why it is called Srimad Bhagavatam is Prakashananda Saraswati quotes verses of Srimad Bhagavatam in order to ask forgiveness from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the second reason why Prabhupada calls it Srimad Bhagavatam is now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits down with Prakashananda Saraswati and starts explaining to him how Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary to the Vedanta Sutra. All the Vedanta Sutra, all the Upanishads are present in Srimad Bhagavatam. If someone has studied Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no need for any other scripture. Like Prabhupada here in this chapter very clearly says that someone who has studied this scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no need for going anywhere else, because all the Vedanta Sutra and all the Upanishads and all the Puranas and all the Aranyakas and all the Samhitas, they're all present in Srimad Bhagavatam. This one scripture is capable enough, is more than capable enough to give Krishna Prem to its readers. And we find that in the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmadyasya Eton Vayaditaratas Charteshu Abhigya Swarat Tene Brahma Ridayadi Kavaye Muyanti Yat Suraya Tejo Vari Mridani Yatha Vidimayo Yatrati Sargo Mrisha Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Guhakam Satyam Param Dhimahi. In this very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, seven sutras of Vedanta are described. Seven sutras of Vedanta are described in this very first verse. Of course, we do not have much time to get into it, and I would not want to take the content away from the next speaker, because the next chapter is describing more as to how Srimad Bhagavatam has Vedanta Sutra in it. So I would not want to get into that detail and not want to take the content away from our next speaker. But just as a point that we can understand from this chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam has all the Vedanta Sutra in it, and the very first verse has seven sutras of Vedanta in it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits down like this with Prakashananda Saraswati and starts glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. We always say Srimad Bhagavatam. We say Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam. What does Srimad Bhagavatam actually mean? Bhagavatam comes from the root word Bhagavat, which means Bhagavan, that is Shri Krishna. So Bhagavatam or Bhagavat basically means Shri Krishna. And Srimad, we say Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam means Bhagavan Shri Krishna. And what does Srimad mean? It has two words, Shri and Mad. Shri means beauty and Mad means madness, intoxication. That book that intoxicates the readers with the beauty of Krishna's pastimes is called as Shri Mad Bhagavatam. Because Shri means beauty, Mad means intoxication, and Bhagavatam or Bhagavat means Krishna. That book that intoxicates the reader with the beauty of Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, primarily Krishna's Vraja pastimes, is called as Shri Mad Bhagavatam. And how much should one study Srimad Bhagavatam? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nityam means 24 hours. Constantly. One should constantly study Srimad Bhagavatam. But the Kali Yuga interpretation of Nityam is at least once a day. Because for us, it is very difficult to do it 24 hours a day. So the Kali Yuga understanding is at least once a day. Probably in the future, Nityam will be translated as at least 10 minutes a day. But in our context, Prabhupada would always say that at least we should take out 30 minutes or 45 minutes or 1 hour and study Srimad Bhagavatam systematically, regularly, every single day. And it is very beautifully described that how much should we study Srimad Bhagavatam? Nityam. How long should we study Srimad Bhagavatam is the question. And we find this point is made in the initial verses. The verses, it's called as Rasamalayam. Our acharyas very beautifully say that how much should we study Srimad Bhagavatam? We should study Srimad Bhagavatam till the time we don't faint. Study Srimad Bhagavatam, drink Pibata Bhagavatam, Rasamalayam. Drink this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam so much so that till the time you don't faint, and only to get up again, read the scripture and again faint, and again get up and again faint. So till the time we don't faint studying Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to keep reading the scripture. And now this may, sometimes it may sound like exaggeration that, how can someone faint while studying Srimad Bhagavatam? Well, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that one should faint, but is it really practical? And we find that in English, there is a saying, practice before you preach. Shukadeva Goswami is confidently saying that one should faint while studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So the question arises, did Shukadeva Goswami faint while studying Srimad Bhagavatam? And the answer is yes. In Canto 10, Chapter 12, after the Aghasura pastime is done, in the last verse, 10, 12, 44, Shripad Sanatan Goswami says something very interesting. Ittam smaprishtha satubadarayinis tatsmartanantharitha kilendriya krichrat punarlabdha bahirdrishoshanai pratyahatam bhagvata uttama uttama. 10, 12, 44 Srimad Bhagavatam. When Shukadeva Goswami finished with the pastime of Aghasur, Parikshit Maharaj had a question. Parikshit Maharaj asked his guru, Shukadeva Goswami, he said that, oh Guru Maharaj, Krishna killed Aghasur 1 year ago. But why is it that the friends of Krishna, they went home and they said that Krishna killed Aghasur today, while Krishna had actually killed Aghasur 1 year ago? So if a pastime has occurred 1 year ago, why are the friends saying that the pastime occurred just now? And Parikshit Maharaj was curious for this answer. And when this question was asked, this took Shukadev Goswami. In his heart, he was transported to another pastime, that is the pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela. Not getting into the details, but we all know that the children were kidnapped by Brahmaji. And it is Krishna who had expanded as all the friends. And after a year, now these friends were again coming back to their respective homes. So for them, it was as if Krishna had killed Aghasur only today. But actually the pastime had occurred 1 year back. So Shukadeva Goswami remembered this pastime. And remembering this pastime, Shripad Sanatan Goswami comment, Shukadeva Goswami, while speaking the katha, he fainted. He fainted in front of so many sadhus who were present. ಪರಾಶರ ಮುನಿ, ಅಂಗೀರ ಋಷಿ, ಜೈಮಿನಿ ಋಷಿ, ವ್ಯಾಸದೇವ್, ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್, ನಾರದ್ ಮುನಿ, ಬಿಗ್ ಬಿಗ್ ಸಾಧುಸ್, ಬಿಗ್ ಬಿಗ್ ಡಿಗ್ನಿಟರೀಸ್ ವರ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಸ್ಪೀಕರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಫೇಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ದ ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್. ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿಮೋಹನ್ ಲೀಲಾ, ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಫೇಂಟೆಡ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಟು ದ ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್. ಅಣ್ಣ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ವಾಸ್ ಆಂಕ್ಷಿಯಸ್, ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಕ್ಯೂರಿಯಸ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಡೇ ಫೈವ್, 10 to 10 ವಾಸ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್, ವಿಚ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಡೇ ಫೈವ್. And Parikshit Maharaj has only 2 days. He has waited all this while to hear about Krishna's Vraja pastimes. And now when Krishna's Vraja pastimes are being described, the speaker has fainted to the ground. So Parikshit Maharaj was thinking to himself, what can I do to revive my Guru Maharaj? My Guru Maharaj has become so ecstatic that just by hearing and remembering the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam, he has fainted. What can I do? At that time, very beautifully, Shripad Sanatana Goswami describes, Krichirat Punar Labdha Bahir Drushoshane. Punar Labdha. In order to get Shukadev Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, back to his external senses, external consciousness, so that he can continue speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, Krichirat, with great difficulty. All the sages who were present, they did something. For the very first time, dear devotees, there was Harinam Sankirtan that was performed in that Katha Pandal. This is not there in Bhagavatam, but Shripad Sanatan Goswami says, Krichirat, with great difficulty, with drums and brudangas and kartals, probably some harmonics also, they were all performing Harinam Sankirtan in the Katha Pandal. It was day 5. Why? Because they wanted to get the speaker, Shukadev Goswami, back to his external senses, external consciousness, so that he can continue speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shukadev Goswami is not just someone who says that one should faint while studying and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He practically demonstrated that after the Aghasura Leela, Canto 10, Chapter 12. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is such a scripture that can drown the living entities in prema. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was trying to explain to Prakashananda Saraswati, that there is no need for studying Vedanta Sutra separately. There is no need for studying Upanishad separately. This Bhagavatam has everything. It can pick up the jiva and drown the jiva in Krishna prema. Just take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we find that this is the hallmark of a devotee in Kali. How do we know in Kali, how do we know whether we are advancing? Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. If we are Vaishnavas, then the yardstick is how much attachment we have for Srimad Bhagavatam. Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. If we are Vaishnavas in the truest sense, how much attachment do we have for Srimad Bhagavatam? How many hours do we spend in a day to study Srimad Bhagavatam? Few years back in 2018, I had been to Coimbatore. His Grace Radhesham Prabhu had actually asked my brother to go to Coimbatore and do some preaching there. And Radhesham Prabhu's sister is also there in Coimbatore. And His Holiness Bhakti Vinod Maharaj is the temple president of ISKCON Coimbatore. So when we went there, all the preaching was done and we met many devotees there. And very interestingly, we also did some preaching in an old age home. There was a Nana Nani home, an old age home in Coimbatore. And we did some preaching there. And after the preaching was done, we met someone very interesting. We met an old couple. It was an old age home. We met an old couple. The husband was about 84 years old and the wife was about 80 years old. And dear devotees, we will be shocked to know that this husband and wife couple, they are living in that Nana Nani home. They are living in that old age home. And every single day, they study Srimad Bhagavatam for 4.5 hours straight. 84-year-old and an 80-year-old. 4.5 hours of Srimad Bhagavatam every single day. They are not external, they're not externally from ISKCON, but their attachment to Srimad Bhagavatam is so much. They have all the commentaries. Vishwanath Chakravarti, Shripad Sanatan Goswami, Veer Raghavacharya, Baladev Vidya Bhushan, they have all the commentaries. Shripad Hari Suri, they have all the commentaries with them. And they can read Sanskrit. They have the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam by heart on their tongue. So much so that when they were speaking to us, they were describing the pastime of Putana. And the 44 verses of Putana were just gushing out from their mouth. It was flowing like a river. We were amazed. My brother and I, we were looking at each other and jaws dropped. They're not from ISKCON, but so advanced. Madhyam Adhikaris for sure. So much attachment to Srimad Bhagavatam. They were breathing Srimad Bhagavatam. So much so that sometimes it so happened that the Prabhuji was chanting the verses, and after three lines, he would forget the fourth line. So he would look, he would turn to his wife and he would ask his wife, oh, what is the fourth line in that verse of the Putana pastime? And the wife, she would again chant the verses like in the flow. And then she would say, this is the last line. And then he would say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they would again continue chanting. Putana pastime, Aghasur pastime, Dhenukasur, Vritrasur, you name it. From first canto, first verse, till the last canto, last verse. 18,000 verses are there on their tongue. And so much so that they have studied Bhagavatam throughout their life, they also know what it means. When they're chanting these verses, they know what it means in their mind. Because when they paused at a particular point, they were even able to explain with the Sanskrit, with the intricacies of Sanskrit. They were saying, oh, this is a sandhi here. Two words have been combined. This is a compound. This is a samas. They were explaining the Sanskrit. At the same time, verses were just flowing from their mouth. Isn't it inspiring, dear devotees? 4.5 hours of studying Srimad Bhagavatam at the age of 84 and 80 years old. So inspiring. And so much so that they're studying Bhagavatam and also teaching Bhagavatam to the other old people who are there in that old age home. They conduct Srimad Bhagavatam classes. They are studying Swadhyay and also giving out to others. So much taste. 4.5 hours. So naturally we were intrigued. And we ventured to ask them that probably you would have studied the Bhagavatam a couple of times. We asked them that you know all the verses by heart and you're studying 4.5 hours every day. Probably you would have studied Bhagavatam. You would have finished the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam a couple of times. And they just smiled. They looked at each other and they said couple of times. Well, in a year, we finished studying Srimad Bhagavatam 25 times. They said, in a year, we finished studying Srimad Bhagavatam 25 times. We were shocked. We were amazed, which means in a month, they finished 18,000 verses twice. And that's not surprising because 4.5 hours of study of Srimad Bhagavatam every single day with all the verses by heart. 25 times in a year, they study Bhagavatam cover to cover. And when we heard that, it was literally a wake-up call for all of us. We were thinking that Srila Prabhupada has toiled so hard and given English translation and purport and word to word. And on top of that, disciples of Prabhupada have, like His Holiness Bhanu Maharaj and Gopi Paranandana Prabhu and so many others have given commentaries of our predecessor acharyas like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, whether it is Sarartha Darshini, Brihad Vaishnav Toshini, so many commentaries are given to Srimad Bhagavatam, which very nicely decorate the Srimad Bhagavatam that we have. And now as Vaishnavas, as practitioners, if we don't take advantage of what Prabhupada has given, it is very unfortunate. I'm speaking for myself because when I saw that couple, it was like a wake-up call for me. Being 80 and 84, they were spending 4.5 hours studying Srimad Bhagavatam. it was actually, literally, it was Pibata Bhagavatam. They were drinking the nectar. So the reason I thought of sharing this episode is, if we are Vaishnavas, this Bhagavatam should be Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Bhagavatam should be our life and soul. This should be everything for us. In Kali, there are two parameters that decide our advancement in bhakti. How do we understand whether we are advanced? First, how much attachment we have for the chanting of the holy names. And second, how much attachment we have for Srimad Bhagavatam. These two parameters, it decides how advanced, how much Kanishta or how much Madhyam or how much Uttam we are. Only two parameters. How much attachment we have for Naam and how much attachment we have for Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this Srimad Bhagavatam is Vangmai Swaroop. It is Krishna himself. When Krishna advents in the society of animals, he takes the form of Varahadev. When that same Supreme Lord advents in the society of human-like personalities, he comes in the form of Sri Ramchandra. When that same Supreme Lord advents in the society of mountains, he comes as Giriraj. That same Supreme Lord, when he advents in the society of transcendental sound vibration, he comes as Harinam. And that same Supreme Lord, when he decides to advent in the form of transcendental scripture, he comes down as Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, we should have full faith. The Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna, because every canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam maps to a particular limb of Krishna's body. The first two cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam are the lotus feet of the Lord. Canto 3 and canto 4 are the thighs of the Supreme Lord. Canto 5 is the navel of the Supreme Lord. Canto 6 is the chest of the Supreme Lord. Canto 7 and 8 are the arms, the bahu, the arms of the Supreme Lord. Canto 9 is the neck of the Supreme Lord. Canto 10 is the beautiful smiling face of Shyamasundara Sri Krishna. Canto 11 is the forehead of the Supreme Lord, while Canto 12 is the head. So in this way, Bhagavatam is called as Vangmai Swarup, because every limb of Krishna's body can be mapped to a particular canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is hammering this point to Prakashananda Saraswati, that when you have Srimad Bhagavatam in your life, there is no need to study Vedanta Sutra, or there is no need to study Upanishad separately, because Srimad Bhagavatam has everything in it. By taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, one gets the desired goal, that is Krishna Prem. We find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also makes this point. Aradhyo Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas Taddham Vrindavanam Ramya Kajitupasanam Vrajavadhum Varghenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatra Dharanapara Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are everything for us. Prema Pumartho Mahan. And the ideal that we hold high in our life is Prema. Krishna Prema. Gaura Prema. And who is saying this? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matam Idam. This is Mahaprabhu's mat. This is his verdict. This is his opinion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that Srimad Bhagavatam is everything. Not just once, but multiple instances. And here again we find to Prakashananda Saraswati. We will again find this when he's speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again hears everything for 7 days from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But then at the end, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, as to how if someone has Srimad Bhagavatam in their life, there is no need for referring to any other Vedanta Sutra or Upanishad exclusively, because Bhagavat has everything in it. And finally, to wrap up, we are making the point of attachment to Srimad Bhagavatam. how much attachment one has to Srimad Bhagavatam. And we find that someone who is advancing on this path of Krishna Bhakti, he is able to see all the pastimes that are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam wherever he goes. In all walks of his life, an advanced devotee is someone who can see Krishna, who can see Bhagavatam, who can see the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And I just want to give devotees one last example before we wrap up. Once my worshipable spiritual master, Sri Srimad Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, was at Los Angeles airport. And this is about 20 years back, late 90s or probably early 2000s. And he was accompanied by His Grace Gauranga Prabhu. So Gauranga Prabhu and his Holiness Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj were traveling. They were preaching. They were going to some other place. And they were there in the Los Angeles airport. And as we all see that before we enter the aircraft, we scan the barcode. Before entering the aircraft, there is a place where there's a person who helps us scan the barcode. And then we enter. So similarly, Srila Guru Maharaj was there ahead in the line. So he scanned the barcode and he was going inside. And now when he was going inside the aircraft, there was a glass door that was present. And to this glass door, there was no handle. So Srila Guru Maharaj was thinking to himself, how am I supposed to cross? Because generally, in India, we have handles to the door where we can pull the door or we can push the door. But here was a door. It was just glass doors. And Srila Guru Maharaj was thinking to himself, he had almost reached inside of the aircraft, but he didn't know how to proceed. So he was waiting for Gauranga Prabhu to come so that he could help Srila Guru Maharaj. And when Gauranga Prabhu came, Gauranga Prabhu told Guru Maharaj, and Maharaj, this is a sensor. So when you walk close to this, naturally it will open. Unlike India, you don't require handle. It's made of sensors. When you go close, it naturally recognizes and the doors open. So Srila Guru Maharaj heard that and they went inside. And when both of them sat in their seats, Srila Guru Maharaj told Gauranga Prabhu, he said that when in the Bhagavatam, we hear that Vasudev Maharaj, when he was carrying Krishna in the night, all the gates started opening one after another. The moment he went close to the gate of the jail, all the gates started opening. When that is presented to us, we have a doubt as to how it can happen. But when in Kali, in a place like Los Angeles, where we can have a technology where we go close to the gate and the gate naturally opens, where in Kali it can happen, why is it difficult to understand that for Vasudev Maharaj, the gates naturally opened when Krishna, Bhagavan himself was there on his head? When people of this Kali can come up with this technology, where just by naturally going close to the door, if the doors can open with sensor, why are we finding it difficult to believe that when for Vasudev Maharaj, when he had Krishna on his head, the gates naturally opened? And Gauranga Prabhu mentioned this pastime in one of the Sunday feasts in Chaupati class, and he was mentioning as to how a devotee is someone who can see every pastime of the Supreme Lord wherever he goes. And Gauranga Prabhu was saying, from that day on, every time I go anywhere to any airport, or I go to any place where this concept is there of doors having sensors, where I go close and it naturally opens, every time I see this, I remember Vasudev Maharaj carrying Krishna. Because Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj instilled this in my heart, that this thing of the doors opening with sensors is not different from Vasudev Maharaj carrying Krishna on his head. So dear devotees, the point I'm trying to mention here is, a Vaishnava, an advanced Vaishnava, is someone who can see Bhagavatam wherever he goes. Whether it is Los Angeles, whether it is Vrindavan, whether it is Seattle, whether it is Mumbai, whichever part of the world he is in, he can see Srimad Bhagavatam in all walks of his life. So here we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam to Prakashananda Saraswati and convincing him that Srimad Bhagavatam has all the Vedanta Sutra and it has all the Upanishads in it. Having said this, I very humbly want to stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 22nd ki jai, Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranams, all glories to Srila
Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, can you all hear me?
Yeah, Preeti Vilasni Mataji is also speaking, Mataji. Both are speaking.
Oh, okay, I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Faith in the chews. Oh, sorry. I think my connection has been weak today. So I just wanted to thank you for the very wonderful class and the conviction with which you spoke kind of really made an impression in the heart about the importance of taking Srimad Bhagavatam very, very seriously to one's heart. Thank you, Prabhu. You really elaborated on the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Your class was really wonderful.
Mataji, you are breaking. Mataji.
You were relating to it. Okay. I think I wouldn't be breaking now. Prabhu, I just had one question, maybe because I didn't hear properly or I couldn't relate the points together. My question was when you were mentioning about Srila Sanatan Goswami, talking about how Shukadeva Goswami actually was. All the sages in Amisharanya, they did Harinam Sankirtan to literally wake up Sukadeva Goswami. So, yeah. I was saying, no, I'm getting it wrong. Okay, to maybe, I don't know, Prabhu, I don't know that part, I didn't hear properly. They were performing Harinam Sankirtan, you mentioned Sanatan Goswami had written it in the commentary. I think after Aghasura passed him, is that correct? Can you please repeat that portion, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my very humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to you. So Shripad Sanatan Goswami mentions, this is Canto 10, Chapter 12, Text 44. In that commentary, he mentions that Shukadev Goswami, when he was speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam, not in Naimasharanya, because Naimasharanya is where Suta Goswami.
Yeah, that's okay. Why I got confused.
Correct. Yes. I'm sorry if I said Naimasharanya by mistake, but Shukadev Goswami, when he was speaking to Parikshit Maharaj in that assembly, when he was presenting after the Agasura pastime was done, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question of the 1 year gap as to why friends came after 1 year and explained this pastime as if it had happened just now. And hearing that question, Shukadev Goswami was transported to the Brahma Vimohan Leela as to how Krishna had become the gopas for one whole year and how Krishna reciprocated to the love of the motherly gopis. And at that time, Sanatan Goswami comments that thinking of that, Shukadev Goswami in that assembly, he momentarily fell unconscious. And Krichrat Punar Labdha Bahir Drishoshane, in order to get him back, Krichrat means with great difficulty. With great difficulty, he was again got back to his external consciousness. And our Acharya's comment that Harinam Sankirtan was done. Chanting of the holy names were done so that by hearing that sound, vibration, Shukadev Goswami can again come back. So not Naimasharanya, because that is Suta Goswami, but it was where Shukadev Goswami presented to Parikshit Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare. Very beautiful, Prabhu. So this again kind of reinstalls the point that Harinam Sankirtan and Srimad Bhagavatam should be our life and soul. Chanting the holy names and Srimad Bhagavatam is so beautiful. We are so grateful, Prabhu. Prabhupada has given such a wonderful process, the essence of everything in a silver platter to us. It's so nice. Thank you so much, Prabhu. The class was very inspiring. I was really inspired to take Bhagavatam more seriously. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Dida Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanvat Pranams, our glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very brilliant, amazing class, Prabhu, on the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. I really like the way you emphasized the importance by quoting so many wonderful examples, the experience of Coimbatore, the couple that was there. It's so amazing, Prabhu. And also I like that how you just focus on the topic. You just don't deviate here and there. That's the wonderful thing about your class, which I like the most. And yes, in the last that you quoted about His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj. So I was also thinking on the same line that how the pure devotees, the Uttama Bhaktas, they always relate their day-to-day activities somehow to Krishna's activities, somehow to Krishna Leela, Mahaprabhu's Leela. And that's the absorption when we say that be conscious of Krishna 24/7. This is what is the consciousness. This is how the absorption should be, that every activity, though it's just a mundane activity, like I was just thinking that simply the glass doors not being opened and Maharaj wasn't aware, how he connected it to Krishna Leela. That was superb, superb. So thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you for the brilliant, brilliant class as always. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Kirtida Mataji, for the very kind words of encouragement. And thank you, dear devotees, for very kindly being on the call. I just want to make this point that during the discussion, if there was something that I said which was upper siddhanta, or there was something, anything that I said wrong, kindly I request devotees as Saragrahi Vaishnavas to please forgive me. I'm still a toddler on this path of bhakti, just trying to repeat whatever I've heard from my superiors, Guru Jan, Srila Prabhupada, etc. So if there was anything wrong that I said, or I presented it in a wrong way, please kindly forgive me. And if there was anything inspiring, I think the credit goes to our Guru Jan, and of course to Srila Prabhupada and all the predecessor Acharyas. If not for their efforts, if not for their late night studies, whether it is Srila Prabhupada or our predecessor Acharyas or even our Gurujan, if not for their efforts, I think as Preeti Vilasini Mataji said, we would not have this silver platter that we have been presented. So I genuinely thank all the devotees here and also Srila Prabhupada and all our predecessor Acharyas. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, our Glorious Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj, thank you for a wonderfully inspiring class. Two things that had come to my mind when I was thinking about how the pure devotee always relates something to Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's reminding me of a pastime where the devotees, I think Ekanatha Gaudiya Prabhu was relating this pastime, that the I think they were in the Middle East country somewhere, and there was the devotees wanted to go on this sand dune ride or something like that. And so they were asking Guru Maharaj, can we go? And so he was thinking for a minute. And usually he's been to Disneyland and he's been there, but his reason for going to Disneyland was to see how they created their whole, you know, system of whatever presentation and everything, so that he could use that for the TOVP. I mean, there was a reason for this. So they were thinking, oh yeah, well, you know, we should be able to go on these sand dunes. And Guru Maharaj was thinking for a minute. He said, no matter how I think about this, I cannot relate this to Krishna. So sorry, we don't go. So I was just thinking about that even something material, as you know, you explained about Radha Govinda Maharaj, how they relate that to Krishna or use it for Krishna's service. So that's one thing. And also just to inspire, I mean, it was just two things that inspired me. One was just very appreciative of Srila Prabhupada and, you know, his desire to like pack so much into the little time he had left by giving us teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna book. Because if we didn't have those, because now if we look at the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are not a lot of purports in those places because, you know, time was running out. But he put everything, he put all the jewels in that one pouch, that if we just carry those two books around, if nothing else, you know, if you want to get stuck on a desert island, it can only take two books, right? These are the two go with you. So that's what I was thinking. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This just reminds me that someone asked Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, the spiritual master of Srila Saraswati Thakur, someone asked Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj that, Babaji Maharaj, I have, you know, how do I make advancement in Krishna Bhakti? And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, well, you can make advancement if you have 50 paise. Because now, of course, you don't use paise in India, but during those days, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, you can make advancement just by 50 paise. Just buy two books. One is Prarthana and second is Prem Bhakti Chandrika. If you buy these two books, Prarthana and Prem Bhakti Chandrika, you will make all the advancement. Similarly, for our ISKCON devotees, if you have Krishna book and teachings of Lord Chaitanya, then it's not different from that Prem Bhakti Chandrika and Prarthana book. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, we have one more raised hand. Do you have time, Prabhuji? Just want to ask.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Madhuri, we can take one more.
Okay. Kaurangi Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. It was when you were defining Srimad Bhagavatam that I got a little confused. And I think I got confused because, although it was a simple definition, but because the words Srimad Bhagavatam were included in your definition, I couldn't make out, you know, because I guess I was looking for translation of Srimad, translation of Bhagavatam, but instead I even forgot actually how you defined it. So if you could just review that again, I can probably tell you where my confusion was.
Hare Krishna. Sure. So there are multiple ways of looking at it. Sanskrit is a language, prati shloke, prati akshare, nana artekai, Krishna tulya bhagavat vibhu sarvashroy. There are one word will have multiple ways of interpretation, and you can split the word and see it. So one meaning that I discussed during class is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam comes from the word Bhagavat. Bhagavat naturally means the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. That is Sri Krishna. And we have Srimad. So Sri also means beauty, Lakshmiji or beauty. So here the context will be beauty, Sri, and Mada means intoxication. So Srimad and Bhagavatam, that book that intoxicates the readers with the beauty of Bhagavan Sri Krishna's pastimes and his personality is Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, this is one understanding. There can be multiple ways of splitting this and understanding it.
Okay, so that one was the one that intoxicate, I guess you can say the book about Bhagavan who intoxicates the hearers with the beauty of Bhagavan?
The book that intoxicates the readers with the beauty of Krishna's pastimes is Sri Mother Bhagavatam. Simple language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in the class, how did you define?
What's that question, Mataji? I didn't get it.
In the class, can you just repeat how you defined it in the class?
This is how I defined in the class. This is exactly what I said in the class. Sri Mad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam comes from the root word Bhagavat. That is this Bhagavan, that is Sri Krishna. And Sri means beauty. And Mad means intoxication. So Sri
Mad. No, no, no. I mean, you know, in the middle of the class when you had said something very different, that it wasn't like a literal translation. Okay, I have to go back to find. Yeah. Okay.
Unfortunately, Kali Yuga memory is such that even though I am the speaker, memory is very volatile. It just evaporates. The class is done, it just evaporates. So
maybe one of the things you said was that because it's the natural commentary.
Oh yes, Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary to the Vedanta Sutra. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one.
Yes, this is that given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, given by Prabhupada. Bhagavatam is the natural commentary to the Vedanta Sutra.
Yeah, and also because Oh, I think it was because Lord Chaitanya was quoting only from Bhagavatam. It's called Srimad Bhagavatam. Was that the other reason, the other definition?
Oh, okay. So you're, okay, now I follow the question. So the question is, why is this chapter called Srimad Bhagavatam? We gave two reasons why this chapter is called Srimad Bhagavatam. One is Prakashananda Saraswati is quoting verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam in order to beseech Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to forgive him and to accept him in his Sangha, that is first. And second, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits down with Prakashananda Saraswati and starts explaining to him the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains to him as to how Bhagavatam has Vedanta Sutra, it has Upanishads, it has everything in it. So two reasons. First, Prakashananda Saraswati is quoting verses from Bhagavatam. And second, Mahaprabhu sits down and explains to him the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam as to how if you have Bhagavatam, there's no need for anything else. So those were the two things I said in connection to this chapter called the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Okay, that's perfect, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. We can have probably one last question.
Prabhu, I have Hare Krishna, Dandat Pranam. Hare Bol, thank you so much. Prabhu posted my question in the chat. Would you like me to read it?
Please advise on the best way to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Self-study, reading and hearing in devotee association, reading and hearing from advanced devotees. Well, all three are important because the Srimad Bhagavatam is, there are two types of Bhagavat. First is Grantha Bhagavat and second is Person Bhagavat. The Grantha Bhagavat opens only by the mercy of the Person Bhagavat. We may be very expert. For example, giving a present day example, majority are there in the IT world. It's the world of coding, programming, whether it's Python, Java, or like whatever, just everyone codes. One may study a book of Python. One may study a book of Python programming, but that doesn't mean he's good at Python. Till the time there is no hands-on experience, till the time he doesn't get into a project and is under a superior, till that time he doesn't understand Python programming. Similarly, on the same lines, one may study Srimad Bhagavatam. One may superficially understand, but till the time one is not under the Anugatya, one is not under a superior Vaishnava, till that time one will not understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a treasure chest. It is logged at the present moment. Just like a treasure chest is logged, we can see the treasure chest from outside. It is gold. It is embedded with gold. It is embedded with rubies. It is embedded with jewels, etc. We are seeing the treasure chest. But are we actually seeing the treasure chest? No. Because till the time we don't unlock it and see it from inside, till that time we have actually not seen it. Similarly, we must study Srimad Bhagavatam. That is like seeing the treasure chest from outside. But till the time we are not favored from a pure Vaishnava, till the time we don't learn Bhagavatam, till the time we don't hear Bhagavatam from advanced devotees, till that time, mysteries of Srimad Bhagavatam are never opened. It is only a person, Bhagavat, who opens Grantha Bhagavat. Yahara Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavera Sthane Ekanta Ashraya Koro Chaitanya Charane. Even to study Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a qualification. Yahara Bhagavata Pada Vaishnava Rasthane. We should go to a Vaishnava. What is the qualification of that Vaishnava? Ekanta Ashraya Koro Chaitanya Charane. That Vaishnava from whom we are about to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, he should be sold out, one-pointed at the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The listener and the speaker should be one-pointed to the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Only then the mysteries of Srimad Bhagavatam will open up. So self-study is important. But self-study is like seeing the treasure chest from outside. We can understand only to the best of our ability. But when we hear in the association of devotees, from very advanced devotees who are walking, talking Bhagavatam, then the mysteries of Bhagavatam are opened. Like His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, in his memories of Prabhupada, very beautifully, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he says that when he was the secretary of Prabhupada, it was very difficult for him to sit and study Srimad Bhagavatam because he was always on the go. Prabhupada's feet were always moving, constantly moving. And being the secretary of Prabhupada is a big task. And to keep up to Prabhupada's expectations is a big challenge. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, being a Tridandi sannyasi, was always traveling. So he was not able to sit and study the books, the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the book form. But very beautifully Maharaj describes, he says that just by being with Prabhupada for 10 minutes, who is a person Bhagavat, all the import of the book Bhagavat came in my heart. Just by spending time with Prabhupada for 10 minutes, not more, just 10 minutes, because Prabhupada is a person Bhagavat, all the import of the book Bhagavat came in my heart automatically. I didn't have to spend hours and hours and hours going through the books because I served Prabhupada so much that naturally the import of the book Bhagavat came in my heart, which also means by associating with advanced devotees, by serving advanced devotees, the deep mysteries of Srimad Bhagavatam will naturally come in our heart. So Prabhu kahe Vaishnava Seva, Mahaprabhu always says, Prabhu kahe Vaishnava Seva, we have to serve advanced devotees. Self-study is important. At the same time, serving and hearing from advanced devotees. When we serve and hear from advanced devotees, the true import of Srimad Bhagavatam comes in our heart. So two things we can do. We can do self-study and at the same time also serve and hear from advanced sadhus. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a nice answer for that Mataji's question. Even it answered my question, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. You made us to develop more taste for Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, with your blessings. Maybe I also, you know, get more and more taste and then read it every day. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your sweet association this morning. So if there are no more questions and realization, we can end the call here. I would like to offer my obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Kepijapatitanam Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Vaishnavim Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Arjun Sat Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very grateful to you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, dear devotee.